Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We are now joined by Eagles breakout rookie running back Miles Sanders. So good to have you with us. Thank you for joining the show. I was thinking about it. Coming on to Undisputed, knowing this guy, big Cowboys fan, take me into the mindset and preparation in joining us.
It's exciting, man. This is a big opportunity for me, you know. All this stuff is new to me and exciting at the same time. So he
tried to butter us up a little bit. Lifts me up. He brought us his hoodie here. You can see this.
Run Booby.
Run, which is your sort of slogan, right?
I like it.
Way to go. We like that.
My mom came up with that, so we just made him into some t-shirts.
And she still lives in your hometown of Pittsburgh, Swissvale neighborhood, right?
Okay.
And if this were green, I would not wear it, but I will wear this proudly.
Thank you very much.
So I must grudgingly admit, you had a really good rookie year. And this is the ultimate compliment I can pay to this man is you scared me as a Cowboy fan, because every time you touched the ball, I started thinking, uh-oh, this is not good. Something good is going to happen because you were slashing. So that brings us to Offensive Rookie of the Year. What's your gut feeling on your shot at winning that award?
I think I have a pretty good shot, you know. I mean, with the other guys that's being nominated, you know, there's Josh Jacobs that had a good year, too, and Kyler Murray, too. All had great rookie years, but, you know, I got a lot of confidence in myself based on the type of production that I gave. Basically, I think in half of a season. With Sproles going down, going on IR, and Jordan Howard going down for the rest of the half of the season.
Yep. So you went up with 818 yards. Pretty good.
And your team made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Them other guys, they made no playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, A.J. Brown, obviously, the receiver from Tennessee. Looking at you, you were big down the stretch. You mentioned all the guys that go on their IR, and you're asked to carry more of the load, run the football and catch the football. And probably your best game was that game against the Cowboys. I just want to know why you slide down. I want you to rub it in. You got to rub it in. You got to put salt in the wound.
That's your first question.
Yes.
Who cares about that?
Why did you slide down? Why? I want to know why.
Because it was smart.
No, it was not.
And it was sportsmanlike.
No, we were in church mode, so it was just get the first down, just go down as soon as we get so we can run the clock out.
Would you call it church mode? Really? I've never heard that.
I kind of like that.
Have you heard that?
Oh, no. Huh. I'm going in the end zone. Then it's going to be in church. Because it's going to be some shout when I get in the end zone.
I was scared if I got too close, I might have just like slipped in there or something.
Nice.
Okay, so what do you think you're going to win this award? That's what I want to know. What do you think's happening behind the scenes? Who do you think has the best shot? You've made your case.
I could just say I feel confident in myself, you know. And I just pray to God, you know, I can be blessed with the opportunity, you know, that would be a blessing and a dream come true, so.
Okay. So do you think you should win it over a quarterback? I'm a big Kyler Murray fan, and I thought he had an extraordinary year. Him, not so much. He doesn't believe that. But how can you outdo a quarterback with degree of difficulty that he had for a bad football team, and they won five games and tied a game? It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I think you can say this – how important those last four games were, the little run that we came on, and just knowing that we had to win those four games in order to get to the playoffs, so we had to go 4-0. And they were all divisional games, so they weren't easy. We played the Giants twice, which doesn't matter the record or anything. The NFC East is tough, especially defensively. So I think those four games were pretty big, and I stepped up pretty well. You know, they asked me to do a lot. They like to find ways to give me the ball, and I've been doing well as far as each game just getting better and better at it. So,
Did you surprise yourself? Because obviously you played somewhat in Saquon's shadow at Penn State, and it's hard to know what you can do at the next level. Mm-hmm. Were you saying, "Wow, I can do this"?
No, not really. I've been doing this my whole life, you know, and I've just been getting better. I think I have yet to play my best football. I think I got a lot of stuff to improve on, and that's what makes it so special and exciting that I'm just, my eager just to get better each day, and that's why the vets love me at the Eagles, so, and I get it from them, you know. I walk in the huddle and I see guys like Zach Ertz, you got Alshon, you got Deshaun Jackson, and you got this all-pro offensive line, you got Carson right next to me too, so. And they demand greatness, and it just makes you want to be great. And then I got Darren Sproles in my running back room, in my ear, just giving me knowledge and just watching him work. And it's just exciting. Mm-hmm.
You look at the NFC East, you guys like you, Saquon, Zeke, Adrian Peterson. Obviously, Adrian is fading his way out, but you got to – who's the best running back in that division?
My goal is to definitely be the best. And like I said, I think I had a strong rookie year, but it's just a blessing being talked with those great running backs. You know, my boy Saquon and Zeke, those are probably one of the top running backs in the league. So it's a blessing just being named with them and being, you know, just mentioned with them. So.
You talked about the guy that you line up in the huddle next to, Carson Wentz. Obviously, the comparison because he and Dak Prescott came out in the same draft class. Who's the better quarterback and why?
I'm going to take my guy 11. You know that. I got all the confidence in him. The thing that I love about him is it doesn't matter who's on the field. He's going to give him confidence.
Doesn't matter, Skip. He didn't have to go get no Amari Cooper.
My guy didn't have Miles Sanders this year.
No, you got Zeke. Oh, so Zeke. So he said Zeke. He's not trying to say Zeke. So you said Zeke's some trash. Huh?
Well, oh. No, I mean, this guy was playing better down the stretch than my guy was playing. I kept telling you that.
You did say that.
Okay. And my guy didn't have Zach Ertz because he is really good at what he does.
Yeah, he is.
And that guy, that's his ultimate security blanket. He just looks for 86. Oh, I'm in trouble.
Well, Miles Sanders said, well, if I'd have Alshon and I'd had D-Jack out there to lift some of that coverage and get
helped.
One of those couple of those guys out the box.
Yep.
I could have got 1,000 yards.
Well, he did have Aguilar out there, and what happened?
Oh, man, stop playing.
Balls got dropped.
Don't do that.
Right? Yeah.
Man, you saw that video that went viral, how the building was burning down.
Oh,
they were throwing babies.
Good.
And they were catching the babies, and he would not, unlike Nelson Aguilar.
Them Philly fans crazy, man.
They're a league of their own.
Okay, yeah. So I want to know, what do you really think of the Cowboys as your division opponent? What happened in the 17-9 game at Philly? Did you guys just know you're better than them? What was your mindset?
We had confidence going into that game, you know, the big win against the Redskins and the Giants. And coming into that, like I said, we knew what we had to do in order to get to the playoffs. And it was win these last four, but most importantly, beat the Cowboys. And that whole week was just different to me. And just the,
why?
Just the focus that was all throughout the weekend. We had a lot of people just talking, you know, throughout the week, just saying how, like all the vets talking to us, like how important this game is, you know. And it was a primetime game, night game, you know, a division on the line. It was exciting, man.
But considering that you guys played early in the year, you went to Dallas, mm-hmm. and they bumped you.
Mm-hmm.
And but you felt you had confidence, like, we can beat this team. We're better than this team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What did you see in the Cowboy defense or not see? Do you think they're average? Do you think they're gettable? What did you think you could just rip and slash on them?
Oh, no, I think they're a great defense. You know, especially the first game when they played us, they played really good. You know, it's not a team where you can really just go side to side on. You got to really just – because they like to go for the quarterback. So that's why we had to – we set up the screens and stuff really well, and the screens work, so and stuff like that. And to play action, then we start running the ball really well too, so – I think that really played well, too. So.
So will you predict that you're going to beat my team twice next year?
Because Xavier Woods.
Oh, he said absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. Xavier Woods came on here and talked about Cowboys going to the Super Bowl next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are.
It's already some bulletin board material.
I ain't the big talker. I mean, I do my talking.
Okay, all right. Well, you do with your feet.
They ain't going to the Super Bowl. Eagle, okay. Walk it to him.
We got a new coach, and he's got a big old ring on his finger.
That is true. Nope. Some confidence
they
there.
They got walking to him. Yeah. Hold on. They got a coach who got a big old ring on his finger.
Oh, Fearless?
Yeah. Oh, Dougie P.
Yeah.
Miles.
And we had our man Orlando Scandrick. I don't know if you know Orlando,
oh,
but
true.
He was your teammate.
He hating himself. He was hating it. Was he hating it a lot? Was he hating the locker? Did he come there hating?
I ain't gonna get into all that. I don't.
You know he was in the locker room.
I'm a rookie, so I keep my head down in there.
It's a smart move.
But he was hating, though, huh?
See, Orlando came on and said a lot of your veterans are living in the past. Like they think they're still Super Bowl champs when they have proven nothing this year. That's ahead of the Dallas game, the second game.
Man, I know we proved him wrong by getting to the playoffs. So I think he probably didn't think we were gonna make it, so.
You guys are trying to stir the pot around.
Yeah, he didn't think you were going to make
it. Let Miles do his thing.
He said y'all will lose to Buffalo. Y'all was going to lose to the Giants. Going to definitely lose to the Cowboys.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he had a lot to say.
And you know what?
It is what it is.
You proved him wrong.
What he hated in the locker room, you can tell.
I don't know, man. I don't
know. Stop.
If he was hating on air, he had to be hating in the locker room behind
Miles,
the scenes.
You're handling it the right way as a rookie. Yep. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you for this.
You did it, bro.
This was an Eagle who handled himself with class.
A lot of class.
It's hard for me to say.
It's easy when you get up on
the
Cowboys.
You got your mom a car as well. You're doing all the right moves. I loved that move as well. Thank you. Good luck next season. Well, Kevin Durant did a Q&A on Twitter yesterday, and when he was asked about the top five hardest players to guard, he first listed fellow finals MVPs LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. He then added two other Clippers, Lou Williams and Paul George, and rounded out his list with Sixers big man Joel Embiid. So, Shannon, what does his list tell you?
They know. They say the players know. That's what everybody look for, the players' top 100. In football, everybody sitting around and don't want to know who made the list and who didn't make the list. And I don't know if your guy made the list last year, but they probably do a one-on-one, so he probably make it this year. Oh. But anyway, as I was saying, how can a guy be 35 years of age, washed up, and still be a tough guard? LeBron can't score. He can't shoot. But you know, Skip, there's more to just guarding a player than him scoring on you. LeBron gets others involved. That's very difficult. And KD knows they've had some epic battles. Epic! Because KD was on the court that night when LeBron dropped 51 in a finals game. The most points for a losing player in a finals NBA history. He did that, Skip. Those game threes, even though they lost, LeBron James had virtuosos. Kevin Durant, no. Players, no. Jimmy Butler had a list. What did Jimmy Butler list say, Skip Bayless? Ask anybody. 2-3 gonna be on that list. Because everybody knows what you refuse to acknowledge. GOAT James has been, is, will forever be that guy. Now, sooner you realize that, Skip, man, it's gonna skip. Ooh, now you talking about your life. Your life is good now. But once you acknowledge that, you say GOAT J, watch it just like a cloud just gonna be just removed from you. When you say GOAT James is the greatest.
Interesting. My turn?
Please.
You know, right now, even the rim can guard LeBron James.
Whatever.
The rim can guard him. Could we see that last night?
I just gotta see it.
I just enjoy it so
never
much.
Never let it down.
Can we please see what happened to LeBron last night? Oh, he gets loose and then the rim blocked his shot. LeBron, you gotta get the ball over the rim. Oh, God, that was a rejection.
Whatever.
That was like a JaVale rejection, right? Way to go. That rim might make the All-Star team, right?
Whatever.
Yeah. So, what did we learn from KD's list? And we know that Kevin Durant went to LeBron's house back-to-back NBA Finals and showed up LeBron by showing out in his house by taking over a Game 3 in back-to-back years to win Finals MVP both times. So, we know KD is qualified to rank.
Yeah.
You know, because he is the best player on the
planet. No, stop doing
that. Well, he is, but nobody realizes that right now because he's out of sight, out of mind.
Nobody realized when he was inside.
They know. They knew. So, it was interesting. He posts this list, and so I'm looking at the list, and I'm thinking, Kawhi Leonard's on this list. He plays for the, the Clippers.
Yeah.
Paul George is on this list, and he plays for the Clippers. Fifth player on this list is Lou Williams. He plays for the Clippers. Kevin Durant ranked 3 out of 5 Los Angeles Clippers. That should be horrifying to one LeShannon Sharp and to LeBron James.
It ain't.
Because AD is not one of the 5 hardest to guard. LeBron is, I'll give you that. Way to go, LeBron. But 3 out of 5 are Clippers. I was stunned by that.
How many of those Clippers make Jimmy Bucket's list?
Well, I think I'll take Kevin Durant's list over Jimmy Bucket's list.
So now you try to see. You see what you try to do, Skip? Now you try to minimize Jimmy Bucket.
I'm not trying to do anything.
You try to minimize. Hey, Jimmy Bucket.
This is the best player on the planet. He says these are the 5 hardest to guard.
Who's a better defender, Kevin Durant or Jimmy Buckets?
I don't know. Kevin Durant was campaigning a year ago before the season started when he was healthy. He wanted to be Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, hell, Corey Booker and Kamala Harris were campaigning to be president. How'd that work out?
Has Jimmy Butler been Defensive Player of the Year? I don't think so.
Has Kevin Durant been Defensive Player of the Year?
Sometimes I think Jimmy talks a better defensive game than
he plays.
You know
Jimmy Buckets. Oh, so Jimmy Buckets can't play defense.
No, he's pretty good, but I don't know if he's that guy.
Yeah, he that good.
Yeah.
See, there you go. See, now, because he had LeBron first, and now you want to minimize Jimmy
He didn't
Jimmy
have
Buckets.
Anybody. He just said in no particular order. He didn't have LeBron first.
No particular order. LeBron.
Okay. All right, he did mention LeBron first, but he said, I'm not ranking them in order.
Well, he should have said something else then.
So,
well, what's your favorite color?
So you
in
have
no
not,
particular order, blue.
You have not commented yet on Kawhi, Paul George, Lou Williams.
Skip, they're unbelievable covers.
Whoa.
I mean, Lou Williams is an instant bucket.
Mm.
Paul George has elevated his game from an all-star to an all-NBA player once he got to OKC.
Mm.
He's playing with a lot of confidence.
Yep.
Kawhi Leonard, he's a two-time Finals MVP, two-time Defensive Player of the Year. So I'm not here to debate. That's that man's list.
Mm.
So I'm going to take his word for it. He say they're tough covers, but I know what GOAT James is.
Mm. So you got Kawhi and Paul George on a list of toughest to cover when they can cover you.
No, they can't.
Like crazy.
They
can bother LeBron James.
Paul George already know what we do to him.
Oh, okay.
And Kawhi knows.
That was when he was flying solo at Indy. He's got help now.
You skip me when we was solo, when we was flying solo also, and we gave him that work?
Mm.
We gave him that work.
So obviously, Kevin, Jimmy Butler, they're paying sort of career achievement.
You see what you see, Jimmy.
Career
Jenny.
Achievement. It's like, well, we got to honor LeBron.
No, you don't.
It's like a
it's
career achievement award.
It's well, not the end.
It's like what Tom Hanks got at the Golden Globes the other night. You know, we got to give you an award for something because you're a career
great.
We
don't need the Cecil B. DeMille Award or whatever.
Tom Hanks, different league of his own.
You know.
There you go. He was in a league of his own.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah, thank you.
And the Road to Perdition and a lot of other things, too. Philadelphia might have been some of his best work.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, but anyway, Skip, baby.
I like that thing you do.
I like that one, too.
Ooh, it was really
Skip,
good.
At some point in time, you got to give my Skip, just a little bit of acknowledgement.
Mm.
Kevin Durant, you love it.
And yet, you know what?
What?
The acknowledgement is actually an indictment of your guy, because I still give you he should be one of the five hardest to guard.
He is.
But are they talking about shooting jumpers? No, they're talking about freight training to the basket. Because when he freight trains on Kevin Durant, Kevin can't stop him. Kevin's 7 feet tall with like a 7'7" wingspan.
Okay.
And he can't deal with him because LeBron is too big, strong, quick, powerful.
You got the guard.
And he's ambidextrous at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see him attack the rim very often. Sometimes late in games, he doesn't want to go clank those free throws last night.
First of all, Skip, look, we're shooting a career low from the free throw line. I get that. But also, Skip, we're going to the line a career low.
I told you what's happening subliminally. The refs are not respecting
him. That ain't their
job. They're not respecting him because he can't make late game free throws. James makes his like crazy.
Well,
so they say, we'll
night?
Send you to the free throw line because you cash him in.
What about the other night? 13 of 37. Last night, what was it? Caught an L, Portland.
Mm. Oh, James Harden.
Yes, James Harden.
And by the way, I thought it was significant. James is not on Kevin's list of hardest to guard.
Hmm.
And a lot of people believe he's the greatest offensive player in history.
Yeah.
Okay?
He definitely got to be on the list.
Okay. So guess who is on the list we haven't talked about? My guy, Joel Embiid. I love Joel Embiid. And Kevin's acknowledging
him. Kevin with 300 pounds.
Okay. But he's acknowledging he is difficult to deal with.
But let me ask you a question. If they'd have had this, say, back in, say, from 93 until 2003, who do you think would have been the toughest guard? Shaq! Because ain't nobody backing you. Skip, the dude said 1-3-25.
Okay, so he's saying Embiid's that guy.
Yes!
All right, I accept that.
But you can't be that guy if you get 0 points in a game.
Well, to me, he got on this list ahead of James Harden, and that might be a little hard for James to swallow.
Yeah. I guess I don't think, look, I appreciate James' game. You know, I think is he a ball hog? Yes. But Skip, the stuff that he's doing, I ain't think anybody ever do that. I ain't think I see somebody. Once I saw Jordan go for 37 in a season, I was like, ain't nobody ever going to get that close again. But James Harden is going to threaten 40 a game.
Yeah, but there's some nights when he can't buy a three. And when that happens, you got a chance.
Yeah. But there's some nights he can't miss a three.
He can't miss a three.
And he might get 75 on you.
I agree. But last night, boy, he looked like he was in a skunk funk
to
me.
Yeah, he was.
Ooh, he was not happy.
But that's okay. But long as my guy on the list.
Mm.
My guy made the list.
Yep. He gets honored by everybody.
That's all you worry about.
So what are we doing about the 11 assists a game? Is that a career achievement?
It's not, he didn't rank best point guard.
I just asked you a question.
By the way, he made it real clear. Kyrie's not on this list, but he said he's, when healthy, Kevin said he's the best point guard. Okay?
I don't want to know about all that.
Because Kyrie was on Jimmy Bucket's list.
Oh, yeah. Kyrie is ridiculous.
Okay.
He got the best handles, you know, and we've seen Steph Curry, we've seen Isaiah.
Yep.
James Harden can pat the rock, but can't nobody do what Kyrie can do with the rock.
I would agree with that. So Kevin might be in a little hot water with Kyrie and James Harden, his former teammate.
Did you hear what Kyrie said last night? Kyrie said we need a few more pieces.
You know where he learned that from?
He learned it from
LeBron James.
That's why I brought that up. Because I wanted you to see. Now, LeBron is getting blamed for something Kyrie said, in which he said 4 years ago.
And today, Kyrie will say, well, that's what LeBron always said.
That was 4 years ago, Skip.
Yep, we're at the Super Bowl in Houston.
Not gonna go away. No mercy. The Lakers had their 9-game winning streak snapped against the Magic last night. LeBron scored 19 points and also dished out a career-high 19 assists, but it wasn't enough as Markelle Fultz had a triple-double for Orlando. LeBron had a chance to tie the game late but missed a three with 4 seconds to give LA their first loss since Christmas. And we're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Good morning, Chris. I would like to know a letter grade for you when you're looking at LeBron and his performance last night.
Well, first, can I give Aaron Gordon and Markelle Fultz an A?
Yes, you may.
Gordon has some of the greatest dunks, you know, of the season.
Ever in a dunk contest, too.
And for Markelle as well, yeah.
Yes. All right, so LeBron, this is tough because he obviously did some great things, career high 19, assist, and he did some not so great things. I'm going to give him a C. I hate to use that grade, but I'm going to give him a C.
That's what I gave him.
All right. First of all, the 19 career assists, he was incredible as a playmaker. No question about it. And I think, thinking about LeBron's mentality, he's always thinking strategically. I think he may have been thinking, mediocre opponent, 9-game win streak, let me get the other guys. We're going to need Quinn Cook, perhaps, down the line.
Huh.
We're going to need, obviously, KCP, Troy Daniels. Yeah, we might need him to come in and hit some threes.
Jared Dudley.
There you go. Well,
he didn't feed Dudley as much.
Dunn hit that three on him, though.
The previous... I just don't want Dudley to put it on the floor. If he's sitting at the line, I'm all right. But those other three guys all got double-figure shots. So I think he was getting them involved. And he... You know, Jordan used to do this, too. Sometimes not shoot as much early, try to take over late. I think that was LeBron thinking. And even in the fourth, he had some good assists.
Yes.
You know, the one to Quinn Cook to bring him with the point with like 4 minutes left. The one to McGee for the dunk late.
Okay.
And then he hit a couple threes in the fourth, too. The bad, defensively, he was one of many Lakers who was just... I don't expect him to keep Markelle Fultz in front of him.
Right.
But Aaron Gordon was able to get by him, too. So defensively, he struggled. My biggest problem was the two late turnovers in the fourth. Mm-hmm. The 4 minutes and then about a minute later. Mm-hmm. The travel, the bad pass. Those were the biggest problems I had with what LeBron did. He had 9 points in the fourth, 5 assists. I know he only shot 3 for 9, but the J's off. That it is what it is. The dunk... It happens. I mean, it happens.
Do everybody.
I think he can't dunk
it
anymore?
It happens to Jared Dudley.
Do we think he can't dunk anymore? I mean, come on. It happens. All right, it was a bad... In hindsight, you say, hey, you lay it up. That's a big basket. Maybe that's
because guess what would happen, Chris? Had LeBron laid that ball up, somebody said, I ain't going to call no name, but he's sitting across from me.
Somebody
said, he can't dunk anymore. I remember back in the day, Michael Jordan with a tomahawk.
Right. So, I don't have a problem with that. The missed three, good move to get the look, right? Good couple pump, nice pump fake.
Yeah.
And like a lot of his threes, because I think he missed his first 6 or 7, something like that. It was online. A lot of his threes were right on line, back of the rim or in and out. And this was back of the rim, front of the rim, out.
Yeah.
It happened. You miss game winners. He took it with confidence.
Looked good, too.
Yeah,
looked
good.
I got no
issue with that. You missed it. So no. I think the bigger picture, though, what's in the grand scheme, what's more important? Getting Quinn Cook, Troy Daniels, and these guys confidence up and thinking, okay, we can be players if they need us. or beating Orlando on a Wednesday in January.
Sounds like you're trying to push it up to a B.
No, I thought about a C plus. I thought about a C plus, but I.
Okay,
I'm
so he goes C plus. What is LeShannon?
You already know what I gave. Mm-hmm. I'm just upset that he ruined my. I had something special. I had something special. I've been waiting on this. I waited a whole week. I ordered it. And I was going to bring it out here today, and LeBron, they got to put it on ice. But it'll be back Monday, because I think they're going to beat the Rockets on Saturday, so I'll be able to bring it out here.
Really building it up for Monday.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'll be able to bring that thing out here on Monday.
Monday is an NFL day on this show.
Yes, it is.
That's a big game, though, the Rockets.
What did LeBron go for a 50-point triple-dub? Because I put that call in. Mm. I'll put a call in if LeBron hit a 50-point triple-dub on it.
Really, you can just do it automatically?
Yeah!
You can just ask, and you shall receive?
Just like my homeboy going to throw 400. But anyway.
Why don't you ask him to dunk it? I just want to hear it. Just say, please dunk.
Now, you'll see the body bag. Now, when he body bagged the guy earlier this year, mm-hmm. why are you picking on little Bella Nets?
He can't win for
Bella, Bielitsa.
Bielitsa.
You're like, why are you picking on him? You know he can't jump. But anyway.
Well, he can't.
Skip, you already know, I gave him a C. And for the very same reason, Skip, I thought, hey, he walks a very fine line, a very tight rope from trying to get guys too involved and going too long. He didn't take a shot in the first quarter. That's only the third time in his career, and that's the first time since 06. We in 2020. Let that sink in for a second, Skip, how long that's been. Mm. And I think it threw him off his rhythm. Because, you know, LeBron is like most NBA shooters. They're rhythm guys. It's hard. Just imagine you tell a quarterback, we don't want you to throw any passes in the first quarter, but then we want you to come light it up for the rest of the game. Nah, that's not how it works. And so LeBron's rhythm was thrown off. I thought he had some great looks. They going up on the screens. He has no choice. The three ball, I'm sure it felt good. It looked good from where I was sitting, but it just didn't go in. 19 assists. I say 18. I ain't going to count that last one. Yeah, they were down four, so, I mean, okay, he got 19, but it really.
Win one of those points.
That looked good. But when you're talking about LeBron James, you're talking about the creme de la creme. He's at the top of the mountain. Mm. He's on Olympus. Mm. And so you have to hold him to the highest standard. Mm-hmm. You have to, the harsher critique is for the best players. Mm. And he didn't get it done last night. You can't even get, you can't start off by the eight with losing. So I don't care how well he played, you lost the game. But I give him a C because I know LeBron can play better. The turnovers, he started early in the game, turned the ball over. He tried to go behind his back on one, and he bounced it off his shoe. And I thought that started it because it seemed like in the first quarter, everybody was just turning the ball over, was just careless with the basketball. And that's one of the things they have to guard against is turning the ball over. I thought some late defensive rotations, JaVale and Dwight Howard not getting out on guys with a three-point shot. But I'm not concerned about that because we got 33 wins right now. Skip and I got 5 cases to do on 56 wins. So I'm looking at something like 61, 62 wins.
So it's my turn, and somebody on this panel is going to have to be objective today, so it falls on my shoulders once again. I am going to correctly give LeBron for last night's performance, especially the fourth quarter, a D as in dog, because I am grading on the strictest, highest order, because I just heard Mount Olympus, creme de la creme.
Yeah!
I heard best player on the planet earlier in the show. So how can I not give him a D for that dog of a performance last night?
With 19 assists.
19 assists. Good.
Fourth quarter. He continues to close my case, my longtime case. He is not a closer. The great irony, the fascinating irony of last night was, I've said from the start, the closer for the 2020 Los Angeles Lakers has to be Kyle Kuzma. Somehow he is being rejected, even though we saw him explode on Friday night at Dallas and explode with no AD and no LeBron on Saturday night at Oklahoma City. Explode because he is capable and he's fearless and he loves the fourth quarter spotlight, but you have to feed him and get him rolling and you have to live with an occasional missed jacked up shot because that's who he is and what he will be.
Last night was occasional miss, huh?
Would you believe Kyle Kuzma played 3.5 minutes of the fourth quarter and got up 0 shots last night? That's all you need to know.
Played too many minutes.
For the record, LeBron James took 9 shots in the fourth quarter last night, which were 4 more than any other player on either team on the floor last night, which jacked up LeBron's fourth quarter total for the season to 200. and 28 fourth quarter shot attempts. That is by far number one in the whole NBA. That's 17 clear of second, James Harden at 211, just for the record. So he's trying to close, and he is failing to close repeatedly, and this time it came against yet another sub-500 team, even though the Magic have improved. They've won six of their last eight games. And yet last night they didn't have Evan Fournier and
DJ Augustine.
Nor DJ. And here they came, and they go up 20. Then here come the Lakers, whoosh, back. And now it's a seesaw game in the fourth quarter. And I'm going to give LeBron credit for this because it was a typical fourth quarter from LeBron because, to Chris's point, he did, with 10:03 left, he nailed a big three.
Nailed
it was
it.
At the end of the clock. I love him at the end of the clock.
Oh, that's not it.
There's no decision to be made. He knows, okay, now I got to shoot this one. And he shoots it with conviction, and he made it. That put them up one. Then he makes a driving layup, which I didn't see again the whole rest of the fourth quarter, scoop shot with his left hand because he's ambidextrous, and that put them up three. And then here we went down the stretch. 8:43, if we could see this. He missed a three when they were up one. And then we go to 8:15, and this is the all-time embarrassing moment of the night. Here we go. He gets the baseline, and he gets blocked by the side of the rim. What?
Skip.
Come on. What are you doing?
Have anybody else
here
ever
we go.
Dunk?
Another missed three when they were up four, then 6:54 left. He's going to force a shot over here in the left corner, and he misses a 13-footer. They're up four at that point, so that could have been a death knell right there. Yeah. Then we got the travel Chris talked about. He just took off running with the ball. I think you have to dribble when you run with it or whatever. And then we got another big miss three. They're down two at that point, 3:35. Then we're going to go to 2:30, and this is the second turnover. At least he was trying to get it to Kyle Kuzma, who was completely blanketed, and there we go. And then here we go again. The worst late game superstar free throw shooter ever. He clanks the first one when they were down two. And then finally,
can
we get to the end of the game. Oh, he made one. That was a big shot.
Put a lot of work into that.
And then look at this. LeBron's got Markel, and he just gets.
Man, you saw Vucevic set a pick.
He just got schooled by Markel Fultz. He can't
Fultz.
Stay in front of him.
Not Fultz.
And then finally, we get the game winner, and Chris said it was right on line.
It was.
I think it was wide left. I think it was wide left.
Yeah.
And LeBron's going, whoo.
Like, that was almost good. Yeah, that was good. Look good for me. Chris. You've been covering NBA how long?
25 years.
25 wow. years. So that's a quarter century. Mm. Has Michael Jordan ever missed a dunk?
Yes.
He has.
I don't know if he's gotten hung on the rim, but he's missed dunks. Okay. And he probably
you
has gotten hung on the rim.
Shannon Sharp, if you can find me video of Michael Jordan getting blocked by the rim where he shorts
hey,
it.
Hey, DJ, hold on. Hey, DJ.
Uh-oh.
DJ.
Blocked by the rim.
Oh, look at this right here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wait.
I told you back iron.
Oh!
Is it because he couldn't get up over the rim? No!
Do you really believe LeBron can't dunk anymore?
Okay, so LeBron, that was a year 17 dunk where you get blocked by the side
Jordan,
of the rim.
And Michael Jordan, that's probably about year six right now.
What did I tell you to open the show? Michael has missed some on the back iron where he just slams it too hard.
You remember when Michael was in Washington?
I'm sure he missed some in Washington.
He wasn't dunking. He was just laying it up.
Okay.
Couldn't
dunk. That was at the end of his career. Now we got an age 35 LeBron in year 17.
And giving
I thought never we hit had... year 17. So seven, you can't look at the age. You got to look at the years of play.
I totally agree.
Here's where LeBron's at a disadvantage in these conversations with Jordan, Magic, Bird, and all that. This is a Wednesday night in January, the dog days of the NFL against our NBA, against a mediocre team, and we're critiquing his last 6 minutes. Jordan, obviously, there weren't shows like this. There weren't radio shows like this when Jordan was doing it. So we don't remember, let alone Magic and Bird. We don't remember the horrible games, the big misses at the end of games and things
like that. Oh, that 19-point against
Seattle. But we know them all about LeBron.
We don't remember that.
Oh, right. He had some bad shooting performances in the finals, MJ.
Occasionally he did. He was also the greatest closer I ever saw.
Agreed.
And I actually covered his Bulls in Chicago, so I was there.
I'll give you that. No doubt.
We're not debating how great a closer he was, but this notion that he never lost, he never missed a shot, he never missed a dunk. There's where the problem with you and me, we separate.
Okay, but he missed a game-winning shot in Game 5 at the United Center in Chicago against Utah in that final Bull run in 1998. And then what did he do? He went to Utah, and Scotty was sick as a dog, and they didn't think he could play a Game 7, which was going to be at Utah. And what did Michael do? That.
Yeah.
held the pose, right?
He's the good push-off.
He did the Heisman
push-off.
I agree.
The Heisman first.
Okay, he did the Heisman pose. I got that, but it worked.
They pulled Kyle Rudolph. They should have threw the flag on him. Yeah. Like Kyle Rudolph pushed old boy down in New Orleans.
Yeah. Did he swish the shot?
He did. Yes, he did.
I just appreciate that our viewers are putting in some videos to just help you out.
That was a viewer.
Yeah.
Came from a viewer?
I'm pretty sure it came from a viewer.
I liked it because it made my point. He back ironed a dunk.
He missed the dunk. It made my point. He missed it.
Mm. Shannon, you got the viewers on your side.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you know what? You just stay on Twitter.
Chris, appreciate you being here. We'll see you back here soon.
No mercy.
We're going to shift gears to Conor McGregor, who is back. He's making his return to the Octagon this weekend, fighting Donald Cowboy Cerrone in Las Vegas. McGregor hasn't won a UFC matchup since 2016, and his past few years on the losing end of some fights may have humbled him, as he was surprisingly respectful and complimentary during a pre-fight news conference yesterday. Take a listen for yourself.
That's one hell of a coat, Donald. My God. I got to give credit where credit is due. You know what I mean? I don't know whether you've outdone me. I've got lions on the inside of my baby here. You know what I mean? But that's a damn good coat, brother. What is it now? Is it crocodile or?
It's python.
Python. Good man. It's hard not to respect Donald right now at this stage. And he has my respect. And although there will be blood spilled on January 18th, it will not be bad blood. And for the Mystic Mac prediction, it will be a KO.
Okay, how about that hat? Shannon, what did you make of the way Conor handled himself?
I'm not surprised, because the last time we've seen Conor McGregor fight, Skip, he got TKO'd and he got choked out.
He did.
So Skip, it's kind of hard to have that bravado in there. You talk about, oh, I'm the man. No, you're not. Because the last time we saw you, you were slumped over on a canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And the time before that, we saw you, the referee waving it off because you had had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboy Cerrone, that is a nice jacket. I might get me a whole python jacket like that. Yeah, I might get me one. Probably like that cognac color.
Let's just stick to this.
Now, I'm thinking about that, Skip Bayless. Look, Conor McGregor has had a rough last couple of years. Skip has been rough for him inside the ring and outside. Oof. I mean, it goes back to snatched the guy phone in Miami and broke that, stomped on it. The allegations with the sexual assault. Mm-hmm. He sucker punched a man in a bar in Ireland.
He did.
And then the last two times he was in a square on the Octagon, he got beat. Now, Skip, he's at a crossroads right now. I mean, he has great, his press conferences, they're great. Except the one with him and Floyd Mayweather, because I thought both of those guys stepped over the line with the racists and
especially Conor.
He did the stereotypical stuff, Skip. But he's at a crossroads, Skip. Because if you remember correctly, I know a female that went down the very same path. Her name was Ronda Rousey. She was whipping everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she get you on the ground, she arm bar you, she leg lock you, and it was over.
Yep.
But all of a sudden, the women say, you know what, we're not going to let you get us to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Holly Holmes said, nah, I'm not going to the ground. I'm going to kick you in your face. And then Amanda Nunes, we were in New York.
I remember that.
And Amanda Nunes, Skip, you was over here, I was right here, and she was right there. And she says, I'm going to beat her. And I remember you and I, after the segment was over.
She said she's going to beat her up.
Yeah.
What'd you guys react?
After she left, I said, Skip, she's going to run through.
It's over.
You knew that?
Yes. Huh. I said, she's going to run
through. You knew it.
Yes, she's going to run through Ronda Rousey.
She wanted blood.
He needs, Skip, what we see from Conor, if he can keep it up, he can get you. Because he is an amateur boxer. He has supreme boxing skill. He went 12 rounds with Floyd. Say whatever you want. Floyd was 39 with 38, say whatever you want. He went 10 rounds with arguably the greatest boxer, especially in his weight class, ever. That speaks volume to his skill set.
I agree.
But where he struggles, if they ever take him to the ground, is like when Habib got him on the ground, he was there for the rest of the round.
Mm.
It takes so much out of you. He doesn't understand how to get back up. So, and I'm listening to Cerrone did an interview on a podcast, says, I'm thinking about, everybody says, no, don't do that, take it to the ground, but I'm thinking about fighting his fight. Why guys make that mistake, Skip? My job is to win. Skip, that would be the equivalent of the Tennessee Titans says, you know what? We're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs at their game. We're going to let Ryan Tannehill throw the ball 50 times to show we're going to beat them at a pass. Why? Your objective is to win. You want to prove how tough you are. If you beat him, that means, hey, I was a better fighter. But he says he wants to stay. I hope that's he's just, fooling Conor.
Mm-hmm.
But, Skip, I'm not surprised that he took this approach, because it's kind of hard to be brash when you've been tapped out and you've been TKO'd. Mm. And that's what's happened to Conor in his last two fights.
I guess I shouldn't have been surprised. But I kept sitting there saying, Conor, where are you? Where did you go? Who is this guy?
Who's that guy?
Conor, come on. You're the greatest pre-fight entertainer in the history of any sport. I've never seen anything like him.
After Ali is him.
Yeah, after Ali. Huh. Except Conor will go over the line.
Yes.
And it's like stand-up comedy. It's right. Like X-rated stand-up comedy. Yeah. He's gifted at it.
Yes.
I saw next to none of that yesterday. Because Jenny used this word earlier in the show, humble Conor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to put a D on the end of it.
Humbled.
He got humbled because he knows what happened the last time he went after Khabib's, his wife,
oh,
his
yeah.
heritage, his culture.
Religion, yep.
Everything.
Yep.
He went after him, and he nearly paid with his life. If the fight hadn't been stopped, he would have been choked out literally.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
He nearly got his head pulled off because he was up against pure rage
yes.
in Khabib because Khabib was going to get even with
yes.
him. He was going to put him back in his place, and he did, and now he won't fight him again because he's done with that. He did what he wanted to do,
right.
and now he didn't want to even recognize him anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to a Conor McGregor yesterday. He doesn't want to do this anymore. He's actually campaigning to box Floyd again, and Floyd is almost 43 years right. of age.
Or Pacquiao.
Pacquiao, but that's his plan B.
Yeah.
Oh, if I have to, I'll box Pacquiao, who's 41 now.
Also, okay? Getting up there.
And he knows if he boxes Floyd, Floyd's not a big puncher.
No.
And it's not going to feel good, but it's not going to really hurt. He's not going to take your head off, right?
Right.
So you could box Floyd for 10 or 12 rounds, and you could walk away. Pretty much unscathed, right?
Yep.
And without any real serious injuries, probably not.
Right.
And yet, in this ring, in this octagon, you can get hurt.
Yes.
It's hard. As yeah. Dana White said, once you make $100 million, you don't feel like getting up in the morning and getting slugged in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
With basically no gloves, right?
Them 4 ounce gloves, nothing.
Oh, it's just nothing. And so he's taken so many shots that I think they were both, these are two old war horses.
Right.
Cerrone's 36.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they've been in a lot of quote unquote wars, right?
Yes.
And so they were basically acknowledging each other with respect.
Right.
We've both been out there. We've done all this. Let's just go out there and put on a good show. That's what they were both saying. Let's put on a good show. We're going to entertain
right.
you. But let's hope, they're between the lines, they're saying, let's hope we don't hurt each other.
Right.
And there's going to be no disrespect. There's going to be no trash talk.
Right.
There's some half-hearted trash talk near the end when Conor used one of the old lines that he did about, I can read Cowboy like a children's book. Mm-hmm. Well, he said that like 8 years ago,
right.
okay? And then they had half-hearted exchanges about that. And then the shock to me was the final question of the press conference was asked by somebody who shocked me, and it was the highlight of the whole press conference. If we could see that final question, please.
All right, we'll do one more. You got a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
Before I bet this money, how confident are you in Saturday's fight?
Welcome to the best show on earth, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. We're honored to have you, sir. I'm extremely confident, if you can't tell. I'm coming in with full preparation, full commitment, and full confidence in my striking abilities and my shots. And who knows, maybe a submission, but I'm going to be going for the knockout.
So Chad Johnson pops up out of nowhere, and Dana recognizes him because
yeah.
he knew he wanted to ask a question,
right.
and we didn't see the very first of it, but Chad was a little tentative, and he introduced himself as Ocho Cinco here, so he's still back to that.
Oh.
He's reporting on the fight.
Yeah.
I like
and
it.
So he sort of goes around and around trying to ask a question about, I'm here to bet the house. Should I bet on the house on you?
Right.
And what's Conor going to say?
Right.
No?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure I would bet the house on Conor in
for,
this.
For the long, yeah, Skip, and that's what's so impressive when you see these guys that have, like, Khabib has this long win streak. Nunes has this winning streak. Johnny Bones Jones has never tasted defeat. But in order to, for Conor for the while, Conor was the face for the UFC. But in order to continue to be the face, what you got to do? You got to win.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep taking L's and talk about you the face.
Mm-mm.
They're going to find a new face.
By the way, he has not won a fight since November 12th of 2016, which was when we saw Amanda.
Right.
Okay. We were in New York before UFC at Madison Square Garden, the first one ever.
Who, Aldo?
It was Eddie Alvarez.
Alvarez, okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 16,
but I'm losing track. I mean, that's 3 years, 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's 2020 now.
Okay.
Wow.
And the thing about it, I mean, he's only fought twice. Once against Floyd and once against Khabib.
Yeah, Khabib. That's it. Okay. So why is he doing it now? Partly for the money, and partly because I think he just feels responsible to his fans, like they're like, where are you? And
nah,
so he feels a duty.
Nah, Skip, that ain't the sport to give the fans what they want.
No, I don't know. He's Conor McGregor.
You go ahead and
sit
this one out.
He's trying to talk himself back into being Conor McGregor, but he's saying nothing offensive to his opponent because he even allowed the opponent, he's going to fight him at 170, which is going up, and so Cowboy is thankful. He's expressing his gratitude, saying, thank you for letting me fight at 170. I didn't have to lose any weight.
But Conor also, Skip, because Conor fights at 145, 155, so he doesn't have to lose any weight. All he had to do is just maybe cut 2 or 3 pounds because he strikes me as a guy that walks around at 170, 175.
Okay, so let me tell you, when they faced off after the press conference.
Oh, Cowboy Cerrone is much bigger.
Conor looked like he's half the size of Cowboy.
Cowboy probably walks around 195.
He
maybe
might.
Pounds.
He just might.
Yeah.
He looked like it yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely a bigger man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this I don't think this is going to be easy for Conor.
No.
Huh? Humbled Conor. Still can't believe I'm saying that. But if he wins, I don't know if he keeps this up. I just can't see it sticking to it. No mercy. Antonio Brown is preparing for a boxing match against YouTube star Logan Paul and seems to be taking it pretty seriously. Brown has been working with a former Olympic boxer to train and even posted footage of his workouts to social media. This is an interesting story. Logan Paul is a big star in terms of the YouTube sensation. So, Shannon, good or bad idea?
Well, it's a good idea. Hopefully, he can knock some sense into AB head. But in all actuality, Skip, this is a bad idea. First of all, you watch him. You see how straight-legged AB is? It ain't going to end well. I don't know if you're boxing. You know that they box from a crouch, Skip. Knees slightly bent. See how stiff his legs are? He going to get up out of there. Skip, look. Man, someone help me understand. How is this helping AB get back to the NFL?
I don't know.
His number one objective, his number one goal was to get back and get into the NFL. How is this helping? Again, what's he trying to do? Try to appease people that's going to have no bearing on whether or not he gets back in the NFL. Oh, yeah, AB, you can do it. You can beat him. Man, look, man, leave people alone. Now, this guy's an internet, YouTube star, internet star, but I guess he fights a little bit. Do it. AB, you don't fight, bruh. Mm-mm. You don't fight. That's not your genre. Stay in your place. I don't care how small the guy is. He in the MMA, I ain't trying to pick no fight with that man. That man fight for real. He fight for a living. AB, you do this for fun. You think everything is a joke. You think everything is key. You go on in there. I hope you get exactly what you're looking for.
Well, you said somebody help you. Somebody should help AB right now because he needs a lot of help. At least he could do something more credible if you wanted to box a boxer, even if you want to box Floyd now. At least I'd say, okay, I get that. Like, this is credible.
Right.
But this is a YouTube phenomenon, and I get that.
But he fights, though, Skip. This dude actually fights.
I know he fights.
He's done other YouTube fights.
Okay, I get that. But it's not credible to me because you were a superstar NFL player.
Yes, agree.
And you're going to stoop to this, and it's just more attention-seeking. Watch me. I'm out of the limelight. I'm going to create new limelight.
Skip, you covered a guy. You remember Ed Too Tall Jones?
Do I?
He thought he could box, didn't he?
And I went to it.
He was 6'9". What, Skip, about 275?
Yeah, it was in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Little old dude about this big.
Named Jesus Meneses.
Beat the brakes off Too Tall.
He did. Nope, that's right. That was a real fight, though.
Yes!
I mean, Ed thought he was a boxer, and he had some credibility as a boxer.
Okay.
I got that. I covered that fight. I was there. But the point is, to your point, how is this going to get you eligible again? What are you doing? It reminded me of Pac-Man Jones was out or on the outs with the NFL.
Yeah.
Remember when he was really down and out?
Right.
And he got into WWE. He was he became a pro wrestler for a while. Okay, well, at least that's just sheer entertainment.
Right.
But it didn't help him with the commissioner. It didn't help his case. Because the commissioner wanted him to be out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Pay his penance and then let's start over again. And the way this is going, this is only getting worse and worse. So after, this is on the heels of that disgusting video that he posted the other day that was just hard to watch.
I guess the guy said something to AB, and AB, you know, he said he would drop AB quicker than the Patriots did. And he was like, you know, he told the dude, square up. Yeah. Man, leave that alone, bruh. Well, that is what you do.
I fear that it might be money-driven because the last fight Logan Paul did for YouTube against a different YouTube star, they made $11 million. So my fear is that AB needs the, needs the money.
I don't mind doing things, Skip, for money if it's in my field. I was a professional athlete. I was a football player.
Yep.
So I ain't mind taking licks.
I got you.
But I ain't getting no ring.
Nope.
I ain't getting no MMA octagon.
Nope.
Just going in so Roger many different
Goodell
directions.
Roger Goodell will not be impressed.
Yeah, there is a lot happening with him. Every day, it's something different for us on this show.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.